Well. Happy Friday, y'all. Happy Friday. And this is the Friday before spring break. Yes. Yes. Amen. 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 Happy Friday to you. Welcome to Morning Teen Allegations. This is your host, Petty B. And I'm so excited to be with you. Okay. So y'all need to share this video. I'm going to share it on my personal page because I need people to watch what we're talking about today. We dealing with a whole bunch of different stuff going on. And I just want to know from the employees, do y'all internet work today? Y'all have internet service? Do you? Okay. So share that. Ooh, let's get started with the church announcements. Amen, amen, amen. Because I cannot with the foolishness this morning. I can't deal with the foolishness all week. It's just been crazy what has been happening. So, okay, church announcements. So I heard that those STEMI checks are coming and they're going to be dropping this weekend. So, I'm glad that we are, you know, getting resources poured back into everyday citizens that work and pay taxes every day. I hope since Donald Trump only paid $750 in income taxes that he does not get a STEMI. So if we could just make sure that he does not get a STEMI for not adequately paying his fair share of taxes out here in the world. Okay. Amen. So with those checks that are dropping, I just want to drop this nugget here that if your child does not have a computer, please allocate some of that stimulus money to make sure that your child has a computer, not a tablet, not an iPhone, but a computer where they can actually type with both hands, a computer where they either use the trackpad or a mouse, something where they can learn online because it's going to be needed with what's happening in the world. Please. I do not need to see y'all in a long line to get a pair of Jordans. I don't need to see y'all in a long line to purchase Gucci and Chanel and all of these name brands that don't care about you at the end of the day. They only care about your money. So if you could please make sure that you get your child a laptop, please get a computer because the world and what we're shifting in, you cannot go without a computer. You cannot go without the internet. So please make sure that we're spending our money to where we can best impact our children. Okay. Also with the STEMI, please invest in yourself, invest in your children, please. Because the way that this world is happening, we are just seeing that people just buy products just because is right advertised in front of them. And if you don't know, this is why Facebook and Apple have been going head to head with each other so much so that they are spending advertising dollars to throw shade at each other because Apple is securing the way that they provide data to these companies. And Facebook is one of the companies that received this data to target ads to you so that you could spend money. And I'm getting alerts that Canvas is down. So that answers that question as far as the internet with Spectrum. And that is unfortunate. That is so unfortunate. Oh, child. Okay. So that's with the STEMI. The next church announcement is, I don't know if you know this, but there's 1 in 5 Floridians that have unclaimed funds in a forgotten financial account. And I want to go ahead and share the website with you so that you can see it and you can know what it is. Okay. This autofocus is something serious. Okay. So this is the website. Let me go ahead and pull it up for y'all. And then I need to wrap around to my camera because I know seeing a blurry face is not attractive. But we live though. Okay. So share screen and here. Okay. So if you go to fltreasurehunt.gov, this is a government website. You can actually do a search to see if you have unclaimed funds. So please go to this website and check to see if there is money that belongs to you that you don't know about. Personally, I was able to find out that my dad had a check from his former employer that was still out there. So he was able to claim that. And also my mother that is deceased, she also had an account out there. So we actually completed the paperwork to get that. So let me fix this really quick because this is bothering me. There we go. Boom. Okay. So please go to that website again, fltreasurehunt.gov, and see if you got any money. Okay. See if you got any money. Let me know. Okay. And then the next thing I want to tell you about is about these gas prices. There's a hashtag that's trending right now, and it's fuel price hike. And so some of that has to deal with what's happening in Nigeria. But if you notice, the gas is skyrocketing. So we need to say a prayer in that because I don't think people understand the ripple effects of what happened. So that is going to impact our airline industry, our trucking industry. It's going to impact the way that we are receiving goods and services. If you haven't noticed already, you have seen that we're dealing with food deserts. Food scarcity. We're dealing with issues with, you know, basically a company, Nestle, that is just clearing out, you know, our water, our natural water because of these water bottles. There's a lot of stuff that is taking place. So you have to be intentional. So I'm just bringing that up to let you know that please be conservative when you use gas and be mindful because it's going to be some really serious impact if we don't get that under control. And then the Florida Opt-Out Network, they published an update on March 7th, 2021. And so they've provided opt-out letters. They have provided verbiage that you can use for opting out with the FSA. So please, 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 please have a plan for the standardized assessment. Now, I want to give a shout out to Senator Chevron Jones because he actually had a roundtable with Richard Corcoran. And so basically what I've gathered, and I will link that so y'all can watch it because I think people need to watch it. Although, you know, Richard Corcoran kept wanting to praise Ron DeSantis for his leadership, there was something that I caught. And he did say that he does not want to penalize those schools, you know, just for collecting data and that we need to test the kids to see where they are, but they shouldn't be penalized. We need to take that one step further to make sure that we get that in writing so that we can hold him accountable for that. Because the issue with the FSA is that it's going to disproportionately impact children that look like me. And it's going to disproportionately impact children that have not learned English as their first language. And there's no accommodations regarding this FSA. It is a high stakes testing and it needs to be eradicated. But the law is the law. They're going to do what they're going to do. So parents, I'm telling you, please have a plan. Please reach out to your teachers to make sure that they have the required portfolio so that they can move through the system. What support that you could provide your child during this time. I'm telling you, I'd rather you be proactive instead of reactive. So again, I'm just letting y'all know, please, please, please get connected with the Opt-Out Network. Have a conversation with your teacher because the FSA is going to have some major impact. Parents, please check the cell phone. I just don't understand it. I don't understand how your children have an OnlyFans account. I'm not understanding how your children have Cash App and they're able to send money, spend money on whatever they want without you knowing. We still have questions how the 12-year-old was able to purchase those guns and what credit card did she use to authorize those purchases? And pretty much made a dangerous situation for an entire school, an entire community. People really have to be intentional with things like this. So parents, I'm telling you, please check the cell phones because the stuff that's happening on social media, it is out of control, out of control. And so the fact that I have to come on here and make school board entertainment for y'all to pay attention is beyond me. But I'm here with my sage, my teacup, and we're going to get in transition because we have a lot of stuff to talk about. So thank y'all for the church announcements. And of course, we have to play the disclaimers because again, my Facebook page is not a democracy. And you know, please keep that same energy, please. Okay. This job is just something that I do to educate folks on what's happening with our school board and our local counties, okay? I am a certified whistleblower and a snitch. And I understand that I might ruffle some feathers and some people might not like me, but I go to say I don't gossip. I just provide the receipts.
Thank you, church members, as we have additional announcements and disclaimers that require your full attention. I report the news, so don't try me with the copyright. In addition, the views and opinions on Morning Tea and allegations belong to me. If you have any questions, bring your receipts so that we can talk. If you get froggy with me, don't expect me to go high and be the bigger person. I will clap back and sage later. God is still working on me. Thank you for your attention and govern yourselves accordingly. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. So I hope that you are listening to those church announcements. You understand what's going on because, again, don't get mad at me, man. I'm just providing the receipts and somebody has to do it. Somebody has to follow the money because it's very clear to me that these school board members haven't been following the money and the internet is down for the third day in a row. Oh, my goodness. My goodness. My goodness. The internet is down for the third day in a row. Okay. Let's go ahead and change my background because we need to actually talk about these receipts. Let's talk about it. Okay. So receipt time. So I promised that I was going to talk about Pinellas County School District because, you know, it is something that needs to be talked about. And I just want to just tell y'all again, because I feel like I have to keep repeating myself because people like to come with these incorrect narratives because their hands aren't clean and they need to throw some dirt to try to deflect on what they're doing. Mm-hmm. Okay. So in Pinellas County, they're dealing with... some serious issues. Number one, we're still dealing with the surgical quarantine where they pick and choose who they want to quarantine. And it's so interesting because you'll have, you know, a classroom and you'll have certain kids that, you know, are quarantined, but the rest of the kids are not. And then the teacher is not quarantined, although they probably had impact with the students that they pulled out. So they pick and choose, you know, who they want to quarantine because that's less paperwork for them. And it's very unfortunate because there's a lot of stuff that has slipped through the cracks when you don't have a system or process done with fidelity. And obviously, we've never done this before. So we're going to have obstacles. We're going to have hiccups. Right. And so there's grace extended there. But when you continue to lie and not be truthful about your process, it makes it hard to come up with solutions. So that's why I go to the superintendents. This is why I go to the school board members. If you are not going to be transparent about your policies and if they are effective or ineffective, then please don't get upset when people are coming with criticism and potential solutions. But you fail to see that because you are stuck and you believe that what you're doing is right and is okay. And you just believe what you want to believe. And so with the surgical quarantines, we have a lack of nurses in Pinellas County Schools. So, you know, when we talk about keeping schools safe, I think a school nurse is something that should be a priority, at least to screen the kids and make sure that they're okay. But when we have schools that have lack of nurses, What do we do in those cases? So again, I just think that folks really need to be intentional with that because it's just something else. It's just something else. So the next thing is about how our teachers, they're losing their planning time and there is a simultaneous teaching nightmare, which I think goes for all the districts. With the simultaneous teaching, I think that people fail to realize that there are teachers that literally are leaving their Zooms unattended. They're basically just having the camera on them, but they're not seeing the conversations and what's happening on Zoom. What's happening on Zoom, if you go to TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, you will see that there's content creators that are targeting your children to send them their classroom codes so that they can Zoom bomb the classrooms. This is why these headlines never go away. I've been telling y'all about Zoom for a long time. And the fact that people still are out here setting up Zooms without the correct settings is beyond me. There are resources out here, folks, to protect your Zoom classes, to protect your Google Meets, to protect your Microsoft Teams. However, it does not protect you at all when you have students giving the secure information to these content creators to Zoom bomb the class. There's no way around it unless the FBI, who have made these threats that they were going to hold these people accountable, actually go to YouTube and do it. Because these content creators are actually generating money on YouTube because of ad revenue. There are ads that are being played on these videos, and these content creators are getting money just by students sending Zoom codes and creating and recording content of classes being infiltrated. This is something that's very real. I have shown it on the underground. I believe that was episode 5 or 6. Don't quote me, but it's all on the Teaching for the Culture website where I expose this very thing that's happening. And if you don't think that that's happening in your local school district, you have no idea what's going on then. You don't. Okay. So there's a town hall that is taking place. And I just want to thank God for the opportunities that are just coming my way, and with the organization and the people that are so close to me that are in this fight with pure intentions to advocate for our kids. So this is the town hall that we will be hosting. It is on March 20th, 2021. And this is in regards to the school to prison pipeline that's happening in Pinellas County. The NAACP Legal Defense and Educational Fund actually suggested revisions to the policy that they have. So there's a breakdown of the policy revisions. There's a breakdown of the proposed changes, and that's all published on teachingfortheculture.com so that you can see it. I would love for you to be present at the town hall. If you live in Pinellas County, this is a great time to ask questions. There's a lot of people that will be on, you know, the panel that can address your questions, and we can take some of that to go and advocate to the school board about making sure that these changes happen. And these changes don't happen until you raise your voice and demand those changes. I think people fail to realize that school board members, they're public servants. They work for you. The superintendent, they work for the board, but ultimately they are there to serve you and your children. So if there's changes that you want to make, you need to speak up and say something, because this is your money. So the next school board meeting is on March 23rd, 2021, and it's at 10 a.m. for Pinellas County School Board. So please, please, please advocate for what's right, and let's dismantle the school to prison pipeline. Our children deserve better. And I'm so thankful for the opportunities that we have to make a difference and to advocate for our kids. It is something that's very, very serious that's happening. So I see y'all going in the comments, and I love it. And so one of the comments was that the card was declined about the internet. So let me talk about that real quick. And this is so off topic. And typically when I talk about Hillsborough, I have my wig and all that on. But just really quick, I actually did call Spectrum yesterday. They weren't able to tell me any account details, of course, but they did tell me that there was an outage and it was impacting several areas in the state of Florida. And so I didn't ask if Hillsborough County could call in to get a credit, because, you know, they're broke, their cards are maxed out, and we have bad credit. And so the representative said that, yeah, you know, someone who was authorized on the account can call in and we can issue them a credit. So I tagged Hillsborough on that so that they know. I know that they don't like misinformation, but let me move on real quick. I got a couple of the districts to talk about, and then let's talk about Hillsborough, because who chow. The tea is hot. Okay. Manatee County, they have a meeting on March 23rd. That's at 4 p.m. And the board is having an executive session to talk about collective bargaining. In Polk County, you know, there's a lot of stuff that's happening. I want y'all to just go ahead. Let me get my sound effect for this, because this right here, this so good. And I mean that very sarcastically, because this is really, really bad. Guess who's coming to Polk County? Do y'all know who's coming to Polk County? Let me share it with y'all, because I don't think that y'all know who's coming to Polk County. Who's coming to Polk County is IDEA Public Schools. Oh my goodness. IDEA is just spreading their wings all in the Tampa Bay. But there was warnings before destruction. So New Orleans tried to warn us. They tried to warn us. So Polk County, IDEA Public Schools is coming to Polk County in 2023, folks. There's a lot of stuff that's happening with IDEA Public Schools, which is not a public school, by the way, if you don't know, it's a charter school. And there's a lot of stuff with the money there. New Orleans tried to warn us, folks, and they're all over the Tampa Bay at this point. So I will share the link with you so that you can read this article and see how they're coming. They got the approval, and it was under the School of Hope, which is... It's a lot going on with that, folks. And I, you know, I've sat here and I've did presentations without a wig, trying to be professional. But y'all don't like people being professional. Y'all like people showing out on Facebook. That's what get the views and likes, I see. Clout is a new drug. So, okay. So now that we have IDEA that is coming to Hillsborough County, let me get information, because I need to talk about Hillsborough County, because I've told y'all, I've given y'all warnings about this. And when we follow the money, it's something very spectacular that's happening here. And I mean that with so much sarcasm. And at the end of the day, our children deserve better. So let me go ahead and dust my wig and light my page, because we need to have a conversation, because a hit dog will holler. This is why we need an audit, because these books are not clean. People need to be held accountable and stop playing these political games, because our children deserve better at the end of the day. And we need people to be accountable, transparent, and operate in integrity. Lift y'all hands up in the church. Thank you, Lord. Because the truth out today. And now the district's exposed. 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 See, you know what? I've been trying to tell y'all for feels like years now about following the money and holding people accountable, that our children deserve better, that we lead the state in our school-to-prison pipeline. We have the lowest school psychologist ratio in the state. We're arresting more juveniles than any other county in the state of Florida. We have 9 times more failing schools than the largest school district in the state of Florida, which is Miami-Dade. We have had principals play hot potato. We have had admin leaders move up in positions that they were not qualified for. We've had lies and cover-ups. You have teachers sexually assaulting children. You have children bringing guns, seems like on a regular occurrence. You have fight pages that's happening. And y'all still want to play games. Y'all want to play games. And I just don't understand I just don't understand why y'all want to play games. So this is why I done stole this jacket from my wife. And I started getting some wigs because I enjoy playing with them. And I said, let me go on the internet and let me entertain these folks while I talk to them about the serious impact of the decisions of these people in position that you pay for, and how we need change, how we need people to be accountable, how we need people to be transparent, and how we need people to operate in integrity and to make sure that our children are a priority. I come on and I make jokes. I make memes to get people's attention. Meanwhile, we have no headlines of all the killings that are taking place in the Tampa Bay area. I'm so tired of hearing gunshots. I'm so tired of hearing screams. I'm so tired of hearing the trauma that our people are facing. And then now we add a global pandemic on top of it. And you have people that play games and lie and shift narratives. And now we're here. The 7th largest school district in the nation is broke. The cards are maxed out. They have bad credit. And the internet has been out for 3 days. There's an assessment that the state mandated for Hillsborough County to take in our lowest performing schools, some of which were going to already be taken over by the state and either turned into a charter or permanently closed down. This was before Addison Davis got here. And I was right here with my wig and my teacup showing you the receipts, showing you the agenda from the Florida Department of Education, because that, folks, is public record. I watched where Addison Davis advocated and said, we are going to turn those schools around. There's a new sheriff in town, and I'm paraphrasing. And please give us another opportunity to make things right. And then the pandemic happened. Then a whole bunch of stuff just started happening. And now we're here where we don't know if the state is going to give Hillsborough County grace because they've had internet issues, because they've waited to the last minute to administer these tests to the schools that are pending closure due to their persistent low performance. I might look very silly with my big body wig, but what I'm speaking to you is straight facts. I might not say everything correctly. I might not structure my sentences the way that it needs to be structured. I was a student that was pushed along the system too with an IEP. What I'm telling you is facts. The state has been talking about Hillsborough County Public Schools. This is not insider information. There were Zoom meetings about it. I was present to one. And I was present to a lot of phone conversations that's happening in Tallahassee because of who I'm married to. And the state looks at Hillsborough like a joke. And as they should, because we've been here before with school board members that want to protect the adults more than protecting the children. Where we have school board members that only hop into the seat just so that they can create political clout to move to another position. Because we have folks that are not intentional about school board and what their duties and responsibilities are until some mess happens. People knew about the school board when it was talking about the reopening of schools and how politicized that was. You had school board members in Hillsborough County in a private, secret Facebook group discussing something that they were going to vote on. That was talked about. Screenshots were provided. Crickets. You have school board members that have made a pledge to the taxpayers that they were going to be fiscally responsible and accountable. And now we are projecting a $100 million deficit and none of them have any answers. You have educators that are ready to walk out because they are seeing nepotism. They are seeing flawed policies. They are seeing how these policies aren't consistent. One policy for one person is not the same policy for another person. So when we talk about school culture, when we talk about staff morale, the same staff morale that was not addressed where Addison Davis decided to go to a Super Bowl party, was very dishonest about his location and his whereabouts. He said he was stuck in traffic and he was late to a school because he wanted to attend a party. And he was captured out there without a mask on. And he decided to go to a school where there's teachers that just had a baby, teachers who just survived breast cancer, teachers that have underlying health conditions. And he takes his behind to school and he has yet to publicly apologize for putting these people at risk. Addison, you're calling press conferences and orchestrating events, and you didn't even notify the parents that these kids were going to be in the media. That's problematic in the population that you serve at that school. Because I'm sure that some of those parents in that community would not want their children to be pictured in the news. Because there's some serious immigration issues that are happening in our nation that needs to be addressed. And parents don't feel comfortable. And you did not give them an option. Because you decided to create another photo op. And I'm not saying that is wrong to have that event, but it needed to be done with intentionality. At least give parents the heads up that your kids gonna be singing to this lady and that they may be on the news. Because did you check to make sure that all those children that were performing had a media release? It's things with intentionality that people have to understand, and the educators were concerned about their safety. Safety. So I just started preaching with this wig on, and I pretty much lost where I was going with it. So let me look at my notes, because I definitely went in a tangent, but it was needed. I needed to get that off my chest, because I just think that a lot of people just come and have these misconceptions. They want to be a bully on the internet and they want to have these conversations. Meanwhile, the people that I'm talking about, I call them, I email them, I ask questions. And asking a question should not be a problem. And if it is a problem, then you need to check your privilege. Okay, let me sage. Ooh, child. Okay, so where I left off. Was a school board meeting recap. And I need to recap the school board meeting because there was a lot of mess with it. First of all, the public comment was just lit. So I don't know where these anti-maskers came from. Like, did they have a secret group that they were in to orchestrate all of these people coming at the same time? Maybe it could be in the same group that Melissa Snively and Steve Kona and Dr. Stacey Heim was in. Maybe it was in that group. Maybe y'all should go check. But anywho, so all these people decide to come out here and, you know, say that they're anti-mask. And we're trying to figure out this nurse who was up there with this 4.0 GPO saying that, you know, you could get cancer with the mask. Now, I'm not here to debate this stuff. Okay, just be mindful of other folks. They have guidelines to say wear a mask. Just wear a mask. Like, just all this mess because you just want to fight and debate and you just want to talk about your rights. Meanwhile, there's people that's dying out here. Like, stop being selfish. For real. So with this board meeting, there was one person that came, and I'm glad that somebody talked about it, this school board meeting, because it seemed that this board meeting, we barely talked about what we needed to talk about. And this lady question wasn't even answered. So let's go ahead and roll the clip of the favorite comment at the school board meeting this week. Wait, why does, hold on, y'all. Y'all done tried it. There you go.
Good afternoon, school board members. I'm Allison Fernandez, and I am here to ask you about fiscal accountability and what you are doing. It's my understanding that many of our school sites have been overspending their budget. And I do understand that there have been many different funding cuts, et cetera, but where is the analysis that compares their actual to budget every single month? A business would do this. A business can run out of money. You all are spending my money. And I want to know, why was this analysis not ever done? We should have known much sooner that our school sites were overspending, and we should have been taking measures to address this. So who is responsible for performing this analysis every single month, and also the budget process? When I served on Temple Terrace City Council, which is much smaller and a smaller budget, we still had every single department chair stand in front of us, or department manager, stand in front of us as a council and explain why their budget consisted of the dollars that they were requesting and what they were doing and why they needed them. So again, that's a question that I would like you all to answer. Where is this analysis for when we are establishing the budget to make sure they are real numbers? And I know that you mentioned something about using units. Units should correspond to dollars. So there still should not be an issue with managing by unit and overspending dollars. So thank you for hearing me.
Thank you so much.
That That won the best comment. It won because we are still trying to figure out about this money and how did we get here. And you know, she asked a really impactful question. She did. She asked a really impactful question. She said, "Who's responsible?" Well, let's go ahead and pull it up. You know, I just got these receipts here. Well, these folks right here. Okay, they're on my screen. That's Melissa Snively, that's Steve Kona, and that's Tamara Schamberger. Okay, they most recently were in the position. Okay, that had the most impact, right? Because you know, budgets every year, you know, they have a check and balance. This one is a particularly a good issue. So we have to go to the people that's most directly that had their hands in it. So the people who had their hands in it were Melissa Stively, Steve Kona, and Tamara Schamberger. Now, from my understanding and from what I gathered, Tamara Schamberger was leading this financial committee, which I had asked her questions about, you know, hey, can we get some answers about, you know, your financial disclosures? Because, you know, that does become important because we're following the money and maybe you got some money on the back end to explain about this $100 million deficit, right? That would be a good trace to look. Her net worth increased by over $118,000. Okay. I have documented this. I have posted the receipts and we're still here. Steve Kona, he's been on the board for 2 years. So as far as the duties, if you want to rank them by priority, I would say Tamara Schamberger's first. Ah, I like that. Tamara Schamberger's first. Then you go to Melissa Snively and then Steve Kona. So y'all see that order and hierarchy? So if you want to know who's responsible, the finance committee that is responsible for having high-level conversations with the CFO for the seventh largest school district in the nation with a $3.3 billion budget. We're going to go to the finance committee and we're going to start with the chair. That is Tamara Schamberger. And when you ask about that, please ask about her financial disclosures that she had to complete as a politician and how her net worth increased and how her salaries that she reported and the reported income doesn't match up. Okay. Then you move to Melissa, who I'm going to show you a clip of her asking questions about the finances, which I'm just trying to understand how you didn't know what these documents look like, sis. And then Steve Kona, which again, I give him a little more grace than the rest of these folks because he was on the board for only 2 years. However, he was still approving those expenditures. Okay. So I hope that I was able to answer your question during your public comment because your comment is excellent. How did this happen? Well, you know, these board members that have campaigned and said that they were going to provide fiscal responsibility and fiscal accountability has no idea what's going on. They wrote this on their websites. I didn't write it. They did. I just showed y'all that this is what they put. This is the promise that they made to y'all, the taxpayers. They work for y'all. Okay. So y'all need to hold these people accountable because they were your public stewards. And they were supposed to be trustworthy of your money. And now we're broke. Our cards are maxed out and we don't have internet for the third day in a row. And we can't even test our kids. And we still have questions if the school is going to be closed down since they did not meet the state mandate. Okay. Whew. So a hit dog will holler. So what else that happened in public comment? And the fact that I even have to talk about this is just, it's beyond me. But then it's quoted in the newspaper. So I'm like, well, obviously this got the attention. So we need to talk about it because there's a lot of stuff that's taking place. And before I get there, I'm just going to play y'all the clip so that y'all could hear what's happening, because public comment, there was a lot of shots thrown and we need to talk about it.
Next. Good evening. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, Madam Vice Chair, and to all the school board members. What a delight it is to be here today. I'm absolutely ecstatic to be here. And of course, Superintendent Davis and the fine job that he's doing. I know he's had an incredible task, but he's tried to handle it best he could. Nobody's perfect, but he's doing the best he know how. I come today, one, to echo the marks of my leader, Bishop Tom Scott, on the thankfulness of being Bishop Williams, Matthew Williams, being inducted into the Brandon Hall of Fame. I made that recommendation. I'm so glad that it was approved. Hadn't heard from the principal, but I do know through other sources that it has been done, and I'm ecstatic about that. Bishop was a true leader here, and he is greatly missed. We love him dearly, and his legacy shall live with us forever. He was the pastor of Brown Memorial Church of God in Christ, and he also was a member of the general board of the Church of God in Christ. So he served with distinction here in this city and in this county. And then it's a poor frog that won't praise their own pond. I won't be called a poor frog. And so, like my leader, Bishop Scott, I echo the sentiments of Dr. Jennifer Dames being nominated, one, as the first woman of color, and two, a woman, the first woman to be to lead the Doris Redick Elementary School. Additionally, Dr. Dames comes with a Bachelor of Biochemistry. She comes with a Master's in Education and Leadership, a PhD. And in 2021, it would be questioned about whether or not she is qualified to lead. That's sad that a Black woman in 2021 is questioned about whether or not she is able to lead when she's been an administrator for 6 years. I'm almost finished. A good preacher closed three times. Lastly, I want to say this. With all of her credentials, all of her experience, it is crazy that she is being questioned about whether or not she can lead. But a woman who's only been a substitute teacher can be a school board member and nobody questions her qualifications. Help me understand that. God bless you and have a great day.
Yeah. Thank you, Reverend Dames. Next, we'll have Rick Warner.
Okay. I need to sage for this one because this is personal. Reverend, doctor. Now, I called you back, bro. So, you could call me back. Okay. So, sir, you come up there to the school board meeting. And I guess you throwing a shot at Jessica Vaughn for asking a very valid and legitimate question. Honestly, I was going to let it go. I was like, honestly, I was going to let it go and let God. And I was like, you know, okay. I'm sure that Jessica Vaughn will address that. That's not my fight. I'm going to keep quiet. And that's my position. That was my position. And then there was these different narratives and extra things that happened. And I'm like, I don't feel comfortable about this because the question was valid. Now, you threw a shot at Jessica Vaughn for asking a question. And I want to know who told you that Jessica Vaughn asked the question. In fact, why did you single out Jessica Vaughn for asking the question? Because I got emails from Dr. Stacey Hahn and Melissa Snively about this same issue. Now, let's be very clear. Jessica Vaughn cleared the record and essentially, Reverend, read you for filth because number one, you was loud and wrong. And number two, that was so disrespectful to do and then throw God's name in it. I'm not here to be personal with you. I'm not here to do that. I'm here to do what God called me to do. And what's right is right. And what's wrong is wrong. And again, I don't gossip. I provide the receipts. Now, how I got involved in this situation was educators reached out to me. So just to be very clear how this works, because I think that some people just be thinking that this is just delusional, or maybe I just sit on my computer and just make stuff up. Folks, there are employees in Hillsborough County, in Pinellas County, in Manatee County, and surrounding counties that give me information. In fact, there is a whole Padlet that is created where they're freely able to talk about their issues, and I read and have conversations with them. My inbox is literally a floodgate because I am a whistleblower. That's my job. On top of the other stuff that I do, I am a whistleblower. And these employees trust me enough because they know that I've been retaliated against. So I know how to keep them secure. I know how to keep them safe. And see, the devil stay busy and the power of my might died. But see, I was prepared. Now, my green screen is not where it needs to be, but I'll fix it in a minute because I was preaching. This is about children. And educators from all over the district, from regional superintendents all the way down and all the way around, the connection of this organizational chart, have conversations with me. They either call me because I publicly place my number on the internet to reach me, which is 813-400-3311. Or they email me at Bianca@BiancaGoolsby.com. This is all public on the internet and it's easy and accessible for people to find. These people contact me. So at Reddick, before I got involved in the situation, I didn't know that the person that they were hiring, Reverend Dames, was your wife. I thought that it was just somebody different. And they were upset about the process and how it happened because Addison Davis stepped his hand in the process and decided to make changes. Reverend, I didn't know that the person that was selected was your wife. And then you want to go on these narratives to make it seem as though that this was a shot at her credentials. And we continue to talk about the PhD, which I'm happy for, sis. That's my sore. I support her. This ain't nothing to do with her. But we also know, well, educators at least know, that a PhD doesn't make you a perfect candidate for different school demographics and populations. That's just facts. There's nothing personal about it. It's facts. So with the population of children that is at Reddick, they felt that there was questions about that process and how Addison Davis stepped his foot in. Jessica Vaughn asked the question and several people did as well. And instead, you make shots and you solicit the help of Bishop Michelle B. Patty to have a conversation about it on the radio without the proper context. You then go and you go and have a school board meeting powwow where you bring all your pastors to you know, have this celebration. But yet we still waiting on the committee that Sheikh said he was going to have under your leadership with the school to prison pipeline. And the organization that had reached out had a meeting scheduled and everything to talk about how we can dismantle the school to prison pipeline. And we have yet to see any type of coalition or group besides SEC doing the work, meeting with these people to advocate. And instead of partnering with the people that's doing the work, people with all these agendas do what they want to do. And you know what? That doesn't even serve the kids. This was supposed to be a whole hour episode, but I got time today because I have had enough and a hit dog will holler. So you go to this school board and now you are quoted in a Tampa Bay Times article throwing a shot at Jessica Vaughn. So now she feels that she has to respond to the masses because now she's quoted in this article and you're quoted in this article and you taking a shot at her. But she provided all the credentials and so you loud and wrong. But let's talk about the process and let's have transparency about it. Because just like y'all wanted to have that photo op, the educators were concerned about the children's safety because Addison Davis wanted to conduct this photo op to have a photo and again, celebrate Doris Redding. I'm not saying anything is wrong with that. But at least provide the parents in that community notice that the media was going to be out there and that their children were going to be on camera. You need to be sensitive to the population of the children that you serve. That's leadership. So, okay. So let's talk about the email because I sent the email because I had questions. And I had questions because, again, there were other educators that brought it to my attention. And I'm going to share with you what I said and how this thing completely got out of control. Because people, it seems as though with unclean hands, don't like accountability. So I'm going to share the receipt. And I will read it to you because this is public record. You can request my email. So I sent an email to Addison Davis and all school board members. And I said, good evening, Superintendent Davis. This was on March 1st, 2021. I say, our organization was just informed that you are appointing Jennifer Dames as the new principal of Redding Elementary School. I have a couple of questions regarding your decision to provide transparency to the educators that do not feel comfortable speaking to you or your staff. The current AP at Redding Elementary applied, interviewed, and allegedly completed all the requirements to take the principal role. Why would you decide to move Jennifer Dames from Seminole Heights when she just moved there from Foster? She hasn't been at Seminole Heights for a complete school year. The year prior to that, Jennifer Dames was the AP at Foster Elementary. When I reviewed the most recent data between the schools, Foster received an F and Redding was a C. Did you have any data to drive your decision in appointing Jennifer Dames instead of the current AP that has been in working in that school culture? The teachers at Redding are not happy with your decision and it will impact the culture of the school. Guess who that harms? The children. The teachers believe your personal relationship with Reverend Glenn Dames has provided Jennifer Dames a position that other educators have been waiting for. I look forward to your transparency regarding this decision that will impact different school cultures in the midst of a global pandemic. Now, if you've been following along this journey, I've talked to you about this email. Now, my Patreon saw the email. And if you were a Patreon, you had access to this. Okay? So you're just now seeing it if you're not a Patreon. So I sent that strategically at the CAC meeting because I wanted to know what Addison Davis was going to do. I'm looking at this camera and it's actually this camera. And this is really bothering me, y'all. So let me go ahead and get information. There we go. Yes, yes, yes. And then let me actually change my background to what it needs to be because this is a mess. So I wanted to catch Addison Davis' facial expressions. And so this was the reason why I was loud in that Zoom meeting. And I didn't intentionally come into that Zoom meeting to start chaos. I thought that my mic was muted because traditionally when Zooms are orchestrated, they have the setting mute on entry. And that was my bad. And I take accountability for not double checking to make sure my mic was muted. But I just want to give you context to the situation just in case it does come up after this. So I was talking to my friend girls about this situation in my email that I was sending to Addison Davis. When Addison Davis saw the email, I saw his response, and not even 30 minutes later, I received a call from Reverend Glenn Dames. Now, I thought it was odd because I haven't spoken to him. And the last time that we talked was about school board politics and foolishness with Tamara Schamberger. So I haven't had a conversation with him besides that. So I thought that it was really odd that this man is calling me about an email that I just sent about what the educators are saying at this school. And mind you, I didn't even know this is who we was talking about until after I got more information. So I'm like, this is shady. It's shady as hell. And it is. It's really shady. And so now that just adds a whole nother element to this. Like Addison Davis, bruh, you are unprofessional, which then goes to the question that I originally asked. How did Dames know that Jessica Vaughn asked a question to throw a shot at her with misinformation that he thought he was right on and then used God's name in it and was dead behind wrong? And honestly, Reverend, you owe Jessica Vaughn an apology. So you then go and you have all these narratives spent and all of this stuff going on. But yet, let's look at the process because I asked for those receipts. And so I guess Addison Davis can explain how Reverend Dames called me after I sent that email, and why is Addison Davis unprofessional and having these conversations with these folks instead of reaching out to me directly? Which, mind you, Addison Davis never responded to me. He responded to the school board members and other folks. And of course, I got those correspondence. So I don't even know why he wasted his energy to intentionally avoid responding to me when he knows I'm gonna get the information anyway. So it really is just a waste. And so I have a whole Google Drive that I'm going to share with y'all that actually has the receipts of who applied, who didn't, and et cetera. So Dr. Jennifer Dames did not originally apply for this position. Okay. Now, there was a whole panel of seven people that interviewed a list of candidates that actually applied. Okay. And so I have the notes of the scorecards in this Google Drive, and you are more than welcome to see the receipts. In fact, since I have it up right here, let's go ahead and share my screen with you. Okay. So this is the folder. I'm going to copy and paste the link so that you can have access to it and you can look at it for yourself. Because I don't need to lie. I don't need to change narratives. And this ain't nothing personal. I don't really care. My fight is with the kids. And if you come and you interfere with that process, there's nothing I could do about it, but just tell the truth. So there were two panels of interviews. There's a question on the floor, and I'm glad that you're asking this. Why was it the same interview panel used for round two? That is a good question. And when I tell you who's on the panel, y'all gonna have to have more questions to ask, because I'm literally getting this information from the district. This is public record, folks. So as much as y'all try to lie and all that type of stuff, the law makes sure that we can get this information. This is why more people like me need to be out here getting these receipts, because people lie, receipts don't. So, okay, we in the folder. Let's go ahead and open it up. This is round one. Excuse me. So round one, this advertisement went live back in December of 2020, in which she didn't apply. Okay, so we're going to go through this document. You're going to see all the people that apply. Again, public record, folks. Okay, these all the people. There's no Jennifer Dames on this list. Okay, let's keep going. Let's keep going. So then this is the scorecard. Okay, you have a person that scored a 20.5. Her name is Brooke. She works at Foster. She scored the highest and was not even invited to round two. Why did round two happen? Let's talk about that. But I just want to show you how in-depth this document is. This is 136 pages of public records of the notes that seven people on this interview team, the original interview team, did with these candidates. Okay? Okay. Now, you have another round. Now, how did this other round come about? Well, I have an email to explain to you why. Okay? And the way that this is set up and the way it was forwarded to me, I can't share my screen, but what I will do is I will take a screen capture of it and I will put it in this Google Drive in about 30 minutes and you'll be able to see it for yourself. This email says, and this is from the chief of elementary schools. This is someone who just came on board with Addison Davis. Somebody had reached out to her about this. And she responds and says, thank you for reaching out to school board member Stacy Hahn, sharing your concerns. We certainly appreciate your advocacy for students and the staff at Reddick Elementary. Based on past year school accountability data, Reddick has earned a C and D grade. To push the teaching and learning culture to greater heights to improve student achievement, Superintendent Davis worked collaboratively with district staff to appoint Jennifer Dames as principal of Reddick Elementary based on the following reference points. Full rubric interviews were conducted with multiple district personnel in attendance. We're going to get to that, because the original panel had seven people and then the second panel had three. And the people that's on the panel, they need to come up to the front of the congregation because we have some questions. Okay, the second bullet, the superintendent didn't score any interviews and was not involved in the selection process. Now, there's another email that says that Addison Davis didn't sit for a round of interviews, but then there's another email that says something else. Again, I'm gonna post all these receipts to make sure I keep everybody secure and private in the matter, because I respect people's privacy when they tell me about this stuff, because I'm a whistleblower. Okay. Number three, there is a clear, I don't know how to pronounce that word, so I'm not going to say it. But basically, they're saying that it was a clear distinction of Jennifer Dames as the highest scoring candidate, which the highest scoring candidate for the first round actually scored higher than Reverend, I'm sorry, scored higher than Jennifer Dames. I'll show you the receipts in a second. So the person in round one actually scored higher than Jennifer Dames, yet she got the job. And so this is why people have questions. Okay. Miss Dames served a total of 4 years as an AP in Hillsborough and other Florida counties. And then Reverend said six on the dais. So we're going to have to count that out. And then she's a current cohort of the PNP Preparing New Principals program, as there are other principals which have been in the district's prior practice. Yeah. And so that pipeline that educators been waiting years to become a principal were skipped. And you have educators that are from Tampa who have been in Hillsborough County Public Schools. They are pissed. They are pissed. They are pissed because they go from pipeline to pipeline. The district plays all these games and play hot potato to not let them become a principal. And now you got in here and their perception is, and their perception is reality, that you got in here and you made sure that Addison got in there. You made sure that Shake got in there. And now you got your wife as a principal, when yet she was just at an AP at a school that is about to be closed down due to their persistent low performance. And she was there for 2 years, according to. So again, there were questions on how can she be effective in a C school. Again, valid questions. We did not question her PhD. We didn't question any of that. The question was the data from the educators that were upset about the process and how this happened. So then Addison Davis explains that in round one, he felt that no one in round one was ready for principalship. And so, also important to know that the chief of schools said in her email that Superintendent Davis did not score any interviews and was not involved in the selection process. But then Addison Davis himself in the email says that he was present for round two and didn't score any candidates. So do you understand how shady this mess is? And do you understand why I literally have to act a fool on the internet? Because these people be lying. You have a chief of schools under Addison Davis saying he wasn't involved. And then Addison Davis says, and because he talks in third person, is the weirdest thing I've ever seen before. But he talks in third person, which is very interesting if y'all go back to the archives in Clay County for some stuff that I found out after he got hired. But anyway, so he says Superintendent Davis was present but didn't score any candidates. But your chief of school said something else, that you wasn't involved at all. The question is, who's the chief of school? She's the chief of elementary schools, and I'm talking about her name is Jennifer Yardy. Okay. So let's go back. So the panel that he said was conducted consisted of the chief of elementary schools and regional superintendents, and that he requested a list of people who he believed that they believed would be ready for principalship. But these people just got here, and there's people that have been in this pipeline that they created to play these games, and how y'all play hot potato on who's going to be a principal. And this is why we can't really make change, because y'all keep changing these schools. And studies show that when you keep making changes like that, you don't develop school culture, and that impacts student performance. There's whole studies out here, folks. So this is why this is important. So y'all felt that something was wrong with the first interview process. So y'all had to step in to conduct the second interview process. And then your emails don't match up to what really happened when I did public records. This is the same Addison Davis that said that he didn't violate no sunshine laws when there was a whole organization that wrote him a letter that said he violated the sunshine while he's having private conversations with the board about something that they vote on and is having conversations with the Florida Department of Education on what's going to happen with the reopening of schools. All of this is happening and taking place. Meanwhile, our kids are suffering. They have no resources. We are collecting cereal for our children to eat because they don't have food. And we have adults that are playing games and that impacts the children. That's it. Accountability, transparency, and integrity. So, now that y'all decided to skip the first interview process that was totally fine and everything was okay, but then y'all then found out who scored the highest. So then y'all decided, no, we're not going to do that. We don't feel that they're ready. Although you don't even know this person. You just got here, bro. So then you then decide that you want your new people who just got here to create a list of people who they thought would be fit for this position. So then you have these five people that y'all interview. Okay. Now the person that scored the highest, not sure why they weren't transferred to interview again, just to make sure since they did score the highest, but this is your process. So let's go back to the document because then I see the second round of interviews. And again, I posted the Google Drive link so y'all can see it yourself because again, I'm not here to gossip. I provide receipts. People lie, receipts don't. And you can get mad at me. But at the end of the day, I'm just speaking the truth. So you have the second round and they were submitted by regional superintendent. So they say. So then these were the people that were selected for this interview process. Okay. So now you see that Dr. Jennifer Dames is her name is on here now. Okay. But she didn't apply for the position. Addison Davis and the team had recruited her to take this position. So let's be very clear on narratives here because that's what happened. Meanwhile, school's going to be closed down. Okay. So then she scored the highest. Now she scored 19.3. Okay. However, the person in round one scored a 20. So again, we just had questions for transparency purposes. So then y'all conduct this interview and y'all feel as though these questions correlate to someone being effective, being a principal. So y'all then go through this and the notes and all these notes right here. This is a 48-page document. Okay. So y'all can read it yourself. Y'all can look at it yourself. I requested the receipts so we could clear up the misconceptions. So the educators are upset for many different reasons. And now y'all understand. Now y'all had a full context. It's not about the race issue that he tried to paint it to be and say, you know, a black woman is qualified and asking for her credentials. No, we're asking about the actual interview process as a whole. And why would Addison Davis interfere with an interview process to say someone is not ready yet? He doesn't even know them. And this is all everything but the children. This has nothing to do about the movement work of our kids. This has nothing to do about how our children are not able to have food or resources. This is about the digital divide and how we don't even have, our kids cannot even be learning right now. The district internet is out. What are our kids doing? They're probably in the street right now playing around, lost. You got kids playing with guns. Where they at? Our kids can't learn right now because the internet's out. And meanwhile, y'all play these games. And IDEA Public Schools is expanding the poll. So now IDEA pretty much has the whole Tampa Bay. Congratulations. You played yourself. So facts matter. Context matters. And the only reason why I brought it up and talked about it in today's episode is because you went up there, sir. And you went up there, was loud and wrong, and you owe Jessica Vaughn an apology because the question is very valid. looking at your wife's data, where she was at Foster, that school that's about to be closed down. How did her data look better than the other people who applied for that position? And then you tried to make it about race, similar to the superintendent search, where we made it about race and how Harrison Peters need to lead. And you see what he dealing with over there in Rhode Island. The games that people play on the backs of our children. And meanwhile, they still looking at how they going to cure this $100 million deficit. They don't even know they're able to meet payroll. They out here playing games, and you got this ugly behind building that might be for sale that they don't even want the building because it's a hot mess and they only want the land. So all those innovation projects that they try to do in that ugly behind building, that's your tax dollars that's gone. That equipment that they wanted to spend so that they could broadcast meetings, but they pick and choose what meetings they want to broadcast. You know, that's the money that y'all pay for. This is y'all money. These are these people responsible for the well-being of your kids in Hillsborough County, folks. This is nothing private. This is nothing secret. This is nothing personal. This impacts your kids. This impacts future generations. If you don't have a child now, the decisions that these people are making right now are going to impact the children that you will have later. And the mismanagement of this school district has been a laughingstock in Tallahassee. And meanwhile, schools might be closed down because they didn't adhere to the state mandate where they had to test these kids to get an extra year to try to turn it around before the School of Hope comes in, which IDEA is one of them, and take over. Like my source said, always tell the truth and you never have to remember your lies. Amen. So when y'all put that there. So I will clean up the receipts. But I got to tell y'all about the people who was actually on the panel. Okay, that was the missing information. Okay, so we go from a 7-person panel to a 3-person panel. And guess who is observing? And Addison Davis was present, but he wasn't scoring the candidates. But yet the chief of school said he wasn't involved. Okay. So you had Dr. Monica Veer-Torado, who is DEI, so diversity, equity, and inclusion. You had Shay McCray, which is in the Transformation Network. And then you had Kim Bays. Okay. So Dr. Monica and Kim Bays is Addison's folk, and I'm not sure why Shay McCray was there. I called her. She emailed me. She said she's going to follow up with me, and I need to have an off-the-record conversation. I ain't going to tell you what she said, but I want to know from Shay, how was she involved in it? Because she's over the Transformation Network, and I'm just going to show y'all the receipt just so that y'all don't be like, oh, here you go, Bianca. Here you go, always talking about people. No, I'm just telling y'all what is going on because y'all seem to not get it. So, okay, let's look. This is the infographic on the district website. Okay, so Shay McCray is over this Transformation Network. Now, do you see Reddick name on this document? So I'm trying to figure out why Shay was even in the room, because Shay had nothing to do with this. This is not even her network. Why is she one of the people to interview and be in this seat? Hello? Where's Reddick? Hello? Y'all see it? Because I keep these receipts. Now, this is public on the district internet. So I want to know why Shay McCray was one of the 3 people. And why wasn't the people who was on the panel, the original panel, the ones doing this interview? Okay, so if y'all have some questions, I suggest that y'all start asking. This is a valid, legitimate question, and it is not about no personal feelings, because the educators at the school feels that it's nepotism. Because how y'all decide to pick this, you have someone in DEI who just got here, and then you have Kim Bays who just got here, and they were tasked They were tasked to find a principal capable of leading this school. Meanwhile, there's educators that have been waiting for years, had to go through special programs that didn't make sense, that was not effective, and still waiting on a position. Y'all know that y'all have APs that are Black right now that was told that they got to go find a job, that they position about to be cut and they gonna have to find a job. They ain't providing them no help. And then if they go and be in the classroom, guess what? They trying to take their pay and say that you have to, you know, work on the teacher budget because we don't have no money. What? But y'all be thinking that this is personal. Y'all be playing these games. And meanwhile, there's a whole bigger equation to this, and it's not about you. This is bigger than me. This is bigger than all that. This is an assignment that the ancestors gave to me. And I know I look crazy on the internet, and sometimes I can't even believe half the mess that I be saying. But it's facts. It just comes out because, again, our children deserve better. And while y'all out here playing these games, there's educators at that school that's getting ready to leave because they don't even trust the process. They don't even trust Addison Davis. They don't even trust that. Like, there's no trust. So they will smile in her face and all of that because, of course, you know, they're afraid of observation because, like, that's a real thing. Hello. So they obviously have to be cordial. They have to be nice. But on the inside, what they're not telling you is that they're scared and that they're pissed and they feel as though that this all was just messed up. And if they weren't going to allow the AP to have a position, then at least follow the process and not stick your hand in the process and try to change stuff around because you want to do something different. And that was all that was said about it. And so then you go and you throw a shot at Jessica Vaughn. So Reverend Glenn Dames, sir, please come up to the front of the congregation because you need to publicly apologize to Jessica Vaughn because you was dead behind wrong. You was wrong. That was messed up. You was lying on her record. I'm not going to be silent about this, though, folks. I have literally been silent. I have been bullied. I have been retaliated against. All of that. Enough is enough. I don't care about your title, your role, your duty. Was right is right, and was wrong is wrong, and our kids deserve better. So while y'all decided to have that photo op, okay, at least y'all should have communicated with the parents because some of the parents were concerned about their children's safety because they all in the media and they had no idea what was happening. The least you could do is communicate to the families that you serve, which is the whole entire point of this whole thing, because y'all don't communicate. Y'all don't tell these people what's happening. And then when stuff is gone wrong, y'all want to point fingers and confuse these people on what the heck is going on. We do not have any money in this district, and that's due to the school board members. So please stop changing the narratives and all of that stuff. The previous school board members are directly responsible, and they could have did some alerts. They could have had conversations. They could have alerted the community well before we're here, where we are dealing with $100 million deficit, where employees don't even know if they're going to have a job next week, let alone get paid in June. This is serious, and y'all are playing games, and y'all think that all of this is about you. It is not about you. This is about the kids that have no voice in the situation while we push them around in systems that never cared about them in the first place. I keep telling y'all about following the money because IDEA Public Schools is coming to Polk County. They entirely have the Tampa Bay community on lock. And the person that was at the board meeting, Trey, I talked about it on Morning Teen Allegations in season one, if you've been watching this journey, and I was telling you about the money. Trey gets money with IDEA Public Schools. Trey also gets money with MGT. MGT is the external operator that is responsible for turning the schools around before charter intervention. Why is that a problem? Meaning that Trey and the people associated with this whole network are getting paid either way. They're getting paid for trying to turn our schools around with these external operators that do not have people of color, that do not have people that are that can actually do the work to move our kids. And they just shove these contracts out because it's a money grab for them. And the failure of education is big business. So now he's getting paid by the district with MGT. And then he's also getting paid by the district with IDEA Public Schools. And you know what else? I showed y'all with MGT when I was following the money. And I told y'all that some of your local politicians in the Tampa Bay area was getting maxed out in their campaign contributions by MGT. Here's the receipt. MGT put money in a PAC, and that PAC issued checks, one to Addison Davis, the superintendent of Hillsborough County Public Schools, to Steve Kona, who was on the board, was on the finance committee, and now he's no longer in the seat. Cindy Stewart, who's been on the board for years, who's been dealing with these financial obstacles for years, and then y'all decide to vote her to be the clerk of court. Mitch Thrower, that was running against Jessica Vaughn and got mollywopped in the polls. They got maxed out. So when I tell you follow the money, there's something that is bigger here. It's something bigger here. And I keep trying to tell y'all, I don't know what else I could do. Stop making these narratives about me. Stop throwing shots at me for doing what God called me to do. Because they getting paid a lot of money for the failure of our schools. And y'all out here playing games. I told y'all to follow the receipts. I told y'all to follow the money. And the fact that I have to put on a Tina Turner crazy pie wig on to tell y'all what the hell's happening is beyond me. Y'all need to get y'all community members and y'all need to have conversations about what's happening in this school district and why it's a problem. New Orleans had warned us about this. And this is your money at work. This is not a private entity. They cannot do what they want. They're supposed to do what the people want. And we need to stop sending our children to the school to prison pipeline. And you had school board members running for the seat lying when we lead the state. You have school board members that have no idea what's going on. And y'all just keep voting for these people in these seats. Local politics matter. Y'all rally up. Community, get together and start focusing on school board politics. You have school board members that have been sitting on a finance committee and they are quoted in the newspaper saying that they don't know what the hell is going on. The corruption of Hillsborough County Public Schools is right in front of you. We have nepotism. We have straight up lying. We have contracts being approved. You have security officers driving these police raided vehicles. And we have no idea what's going on about that. You have all of this stuff that's approved. And now these board members want to throw shots at people for holding the right people accountable. And then here we go. A hit dog will holler. So I hope all this talking y'all doing, board members, the ones that's been here, the ones that's on the finance committee, I'm glad Tamara Schamberger came to the school board and gave some books. But she also needs to explain why we're in a $100 million deficit when she was serving on the finance committee. Thanks, sis. We still have questions. Y'all demand better. Y'all demand more. Because your kids deserve better. And this whole situation is a circus. It's been a circus. Don't even know why people haven't been paying attention to it. I send the media some of the stuff that happened. Silence. And we have all this stuff going on. This is unacceptable. And our children are harmed every single day. Y'all arrest kids all the time because they've been bullied. They've been bullied and they don't feel safe on the campus. So they bring guns and weapons. Y'all want to arrest the children for having weapons, but y'all haven't addressed the persistent bullying that's happening on the campus and what's happening on social media. I've gave y'all solutions back in 2019 that y'all need to have a task force to combat this, because y'all have fight pages dedicated to school sites on Instagram, and they're posting videos of fights that are not all logged in when y'all submit y'all reports to the Florida Department of Education, which is public record. So for the community members in Hillsborough County, this is my call to action to you. We have no money to fire Addison Davis, so I hope that y'all understand that unless the community rallies up and pay him out, that he's stuck. So that means y'all need to hold him accountable to do what he's supposed to do and not follow the politics. Because if y'all don't, it will continue the status quo. But if you are intentional, if you speak out, if you follow the receipts and you follow the money, you can demand the people that work for you to do what you want them to do. But when you're silent, you give them consent to do what they're doing. Our children deserve better. People are putting resources in the comments. Dr. Angela Schroden was running for school board in Hillsborough County, and due to politics, she didn't win that seat, but she was the most qualified person to be in that seat. This is the same person that blew the whistle about Achieve 3000. Then we hear all about nepotism, and then we hear about the effectiveness of Achieve 3000 and how kids are literally being punished in their perception to be on these computer programs. Well, guess what? We don't have the internet. So what they doing now? The internet's out. So I love y'all so much. If you're not a Patreon, be a Patreon member, please. One last thing that I want to tell you. It's actually two things. I lied. So I want to play a clip of Melissa Snively. And the reason why I want to play this clip is because I go back to these people that are in position that are asking questions that they should be well aware of. So let me play it real quick. Video file and desktop.
Okay, Member Snively, you're recognized.
So first, thank you for your presentation. Just for I could just be speaking for myself. When you are going through the report, it would be really helpful to reference the page numbers that you're on when you're speaking. So, and also it would help to keep up with the presentation that's being presented, because they were not quite keeping up with that. So as they were talking about one particular page, that we were stuck on the first page of the 3-year trends. So just as a for logistical purposes. The other thing I think that would also be helpful is page 20, it's 24, I think it's page 24. It's missing out of my paper stack here, but it's basically the I always think it's helpful to make sure that we're focusing on the month end of the general fund, and make sure that we take a moment to look closely at that particular slide to see where we are with our general fund, as well as taking that extra time to, where is, there it is, page 48 of the presentation, 48 of 66. What might also be helpful is right now, I know we're only doing a previous year to this year, but I think that's a little bit of why the board may have not noticed the trend in the fund balance is because we're only looking at the previous year compared to the current year. And if we could have seen and I'm not making an excuse, I'm just saying that this would be helpful information just for not only for us, but probably for the public too, is to see the trend over time maybe the last 3 to 5 years of the general fund each month, because then we could really see that there's a trend, you know, going down. It'd be very clear for anyone who's looking at this to be able to see that the trend is going downward. The other thing too, I wouldn't mind seeing a trend in, is on page 51, which is the general fund benefit expenditures. I think it would be helpful to see, well, actually I take that back, because that's really on page 61. So the pie chart that we're looking at, just to confirm, is basically the information that's presented on 61, except 61 gives us a 3-year trend as opposed to just the 1-year pie chart, right? Is that how I'm, make sure I'm reading it that way.
Correct. Okay. And actually the pie chart is by function, where mm-hmm. the trend analysis is by object.
Oh, okay. So
purpose of spend versus what you're buying.
Right. Okay. So it might be helpful to have that 3-year trend on the pie chart as well. And then the question I had, because there is a question here, I promise,
okay,
is that on page 61, does that include the state funding for increasing newer teacher salaries? Is that in here as well? And that's why it's going up from 184 to 201. Okay. I just wanted to clarify that. Thank you.
Now, Melissa, now all these years that you've been on the school board, all these years you served on the finance committee, and you asking questions about these documents like you've never seen any of it before. These documents look very similar. You asking about seeing charts in a different way, as if you couldn't request that before. If you needed that information, why are you asking about it now? I mean, it's the same system that y'all been using, that the Gibson report told y'all that y'all shouldn't be using anyway, because the IT department could rob y'all blind and y'all wouldn't even know it. That's, I'm paraphrasing what the Gibson report said. In 2016, we've been here before. I went through the archive of years in Hillsborough County Public Schools. I did my research. I did my homework. I pulled receipts. I asked questions. I talked to folks, and I developed a rapport with the people that I need to in this district. It just so happens that Addison Davis don't want to talk to me anymore because he's been called out on his controversies and he doesn't like to be held accountable. And that's not my problem. That's not my fault. But at the end of the day, I'm going to get my questions answered regardless if he answers me or not, because the questions are valid. People have the same questions as I do, and people are the ones that bring the questions to me most of the time. But y'all been playing this shell game, and if y'all go back to that same meeting and y'all listen to the questions that Jessica Vaughn had to say, I give a shout out to school board member Jessica Vaughn, and I felt so angry that Reverend Dames threw a shot at her to try to, I guess, insinuate that substitute teachers have no experience, as if we're going to talk down to our substitute teachers, when meanwhile at the school that his wife was working at, they needed those substitute teachers because there was no one coming to the school. So we need to keep that same energy. The fact that you threw that shot, it was a brick, bro, and then use God in it, come on, man. That's wrong. And you need to apologize to Jessica Vaughn for that. That's messed up. And if you don't like to be held accountable publicly, then you shouldn't have went to the school board meeting and threw a shot. And shouldn't have been quoted in the paper with that shot. So now you're going to have questions from your folks that are your boss in this ministry as to why you felt that it was appropriate to come out here and to throw shots at people when there's alleged nepotism because the interview process looked flawed and shady. And inconsistent statements everywhere. So there's no trust. In the 7th largest school district in the nation that is broke, the cards are maxed out, we have bad credit. So I'm done. And I also am setting new boundaries, because this ain't nothing personal, but some of y'all really be trying me. And I know it's probably not intentional. Some of you are scared, but on some real stuff, like, I have a job, I have a career, I work. Okay. So this project is a labor of love, but like, I actually work. And it's so interesting because Tamara Schamberg is like, well, get a real job. No, sis, explain how you got all this money during your tenure as a school board member and we missing money. How about that? Anywho, so I am closing my inbox. I'm closing my inbox because people reach out to me, they send a message, they unsend the message, and then I have to go back to you and be like, did you mean to send me something? Knowing darn well that, yes, you did mean to send me something, but you were scared and you hit unsend because you didn't want to send it to me. And I understand that you're scared, but I can't do this back and forth. I can't do it. So because of that, there's a Padlet that I pay for every single month, where I've allowed that to be your safe space when we were talking about the reopening the schools. This is going to be for the entire, this the new setup, okay? So there's pages in here where if you're in Hillsboro, y'all can put what y'all want to put in here, okay? This is set up to be anonymous. The only person that moderates this is me, okay? And I have this up here so that y'all could be a safe space, okay? But I can't do it. I can't do it because it is just too much. So if you have a concern and you want it up here, there's people that actually read this stuff. Okay. But there's a couple of ground rules that you need to know. Number one, don't you dare use a district computer to send me this information because they can go look at your internet history to see what you sent. So do not use a district computer to put information in here. And also, don't be connected to their Wi-Fi or their internet access when you put stuff in here as well. It needs to be completely separate. So your personal device under your personal network, that's where you're going to put this information here. I have it for all of the different districts. Let me share that with you so you could see it, because I have it for several different school districts that ask for it. And if you ask for it, I set it up. And if you're not riding in it, then I don't know what to tell you. But I pay for this every month for y'all to have a safe space. So this is the Tampa Bay area and a couple of districts that asked me for it, and I haven't seen any activity for months. So we're going to get back into it. So if you in Pinellas, you're going to go to Pinellas. If you in Hillsboro, you're going to go to the most recent page. It's page 3, because page 1 and 2 is all full of stuff that y'all have to say. So inbox is closed. Please don't inbox me with stuff going on. Please respect my boundaries. And there's the link of the Padlet. I will add that on there and send your stuff there. It's completely anonymous. You don't have to put your name, and I will research any information that I can if I deem necessary. Okay. Thank you for that. And I appreciate you. So with all of that, I love y'all so much. Y'all have a great day. I've been on here for almost 2 hours. So please, if you're not a Patreon, at least support. I mean, you could literally support for $1 a month, or you can drop my Cash App, something. Okay. This is a lot of work. I'm out here in this hot behind wig with a ring light and these cameras to let y'all know that these networks are going to tear up the future of education, and it's because it's a cash grab to these folks that got their hands in a system that was never designed for kids that look like me in the first place. So again, education is a big business and failure drives the machine. Please be intentional and hold these folks accountable for the mismanagement in your district and your city, wherever you watching this from, because your kids deserve better and people be playing games. I love you and have a great day.
Please keep my name about your mouth and mind your business.